This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi and continuing coverage of the case against Karen Reed.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, sir.
Could you please introduce yourself to the jury, spell your last name for the record?
My name is Kevin O'Hara, O-H-A-R-A.
Where do you work?
I'm a lieutenant with the Massachusetts State Police.
How long have you worked for the Massachusetts State Police?
23 years.
When you began your career, what was your role with the Massachusetts State Police?
I was assigned as a trooper, a patrol trooper, working out of several barracks across the state.
Did you have to have any special education or training before you became an official Massachusetts State Police trooper?
Yes, I did. We went to a six-month academy in New Braintree.
How long were you on patrol for?
I was on patrol for 17 years until I became a sergeant in 2018, so 16 years, became a sergeant, then a lieutenant.
In those 16 years, did you have any additional training after basic academy?
Yes, continued training throughout the years, additional training. Eventually, I wound up joining a search and rescue team, went to search and rescue training.
Tell us a little bit about search and rescue, what you did and what you do.
I'm the team commander for the State Police Special Emergency Response Team, which is known as CERT. I am also the search and rescue coordinator for the state of Massachusetts. As a team, we conduct monthly trainings, at least twice a month, where our team will come together and train. We've been to trainings all across the country to hit national training standards.
Do you have any particular roles when you look? Do you look for certain types of things?
So for CERT, we have three main mission types. We will do lost missing person searches, we will do evidence searches, and then we also do crowd control or security at large scale events, such as the Boston Marathon, the July 4th celebration. We get assigned to Gillette Stadium for all the events down there as well.
You mentioned that you work, part of your work is looking for missing persons.
Yes, sir.
Did you receive any specialized training, have any special experience looking for missing persons as far as training technique?
Yes, we get certifications through NASAR, which is a national search and rescue organization, NUSAR, which is a New England-based search and rescue group. We will train several different types of trainings to improve our search techniques, including man tracking, probability of detection, critical separation, which is how we'll line up as we're searching certain areas. We've also gone, as I stated before, to national trainings where we've now really use a lot of statistical-based searching in our searches. We'll use live tracking maps now, so we've really advanced the way we search for missing persons.
When you're searching for a missing person, is there a routine or does it depend case by case?
We'll start off with a set normal way we'll deploy. More than likely, we'll start with a canine, searching high probability of areas, trying to get people out as quick as possible. And then eventually it may turn into a line search or a grid search.
You said that you lead the CERT team?
That's correct, sir.
How many CERT teams are there with the Massachusetts State Police?
Just one.
How do you decide what different cases or situations to get involved in? Is that at your request?
It's not at our request. We'll receive requests either internally through other members of our department or externally from outside agencies.
So can you take us through very basically how would a typical request come to you?
Most of the time I'll receive what I call a courtesy notification. I'll get a call from someone that I know in the department or a local police department asking, giving the particulars of the case and if we'd be available and what I think about our response. If we are available, if we're not already on another mission, we'll then start the approval request process, which I have to send up through my chain of command. I have to send that up through a captain, which then will go to a major who's in charge of the special operations. And then he may have the final say. It may even go higher to him to Lieutenant Colonel of Field Services. If the request is internal through another member of our department, it also has to go up their specific chain of command as well. Sometimes getting an external request sometimes goes faster because there's not that second chain of command, to go through.
In 2022, how many full-time members were on the CERT team?
At that time, we had 55 members, which were, well, excuse me, sir, we had one full-time member, 55 total members on the team.
So the members on the search team, did they engage in other roles with the state police at the same time they're a member of the search team?
Yes, it's an additional duty. They have a primary assignment either at a barracks or some other assignment throughout the state.
If you've decided on accepting a mission or you are assigned a mission, who determines how many people from the search team would attend?
That would be determined by myself and the captain from Special Operations.
You mentioned back in 2022 there was one full-time member and 55 part-time members of the search team?
Yes, 55 total, correct, sir.
As we stand today, how many full-time members of the search team?
Currently, 69. We did have 71. We've had a few members leave the team recently.
Are those full-time or part-time members?
I'm sorry, that's full total members. We have currently 5 full-time members, so we increased our on both ends.
Are members of the CERT team who work for the Massachusetts State Police drawn from different geographical locations around the state?
That's correct. We try to split east-west the best we can geographically, just so we have as quick a response time as possible. We'll break it down further into, you know, the northeast part of the state, the southeast, central, west, but main breakdown for us is east-west, basically using 495 as our boundary.
If the CERT team's assigned a mission, and there are members that have chosen to participate, how often would you go to that scene or involve yourself in that particular event?
When I was the only full-time member, probably 99% of the missions I would go to. Now we have a few other supervisors on the team. I have a full-time executive officer who's also a lieutenant, but my role hasn't changed too much, still 90 to 95% of the missions.
I want you to take us back to January 29, 2022. Were you contacted or was a request made for you to consider and accept the mission?
Yes, I received a call from Lieutenant Tully.
After receiving the call, what was your process?
Again, that was what I would classify as a courtesy notification to see if we were available, if he thought we could get a response on that date. I told him we would be able to respond. I asked him if he had started the approval, the request for approval up his chain of command, which he hadn't at that time. He stated he would start on that, and then I contacted my captain after getting off the phone with him to start the approval process through my chain of command.
Do you remember generally about what time this process began?
He called me at 2:32 p.m.
At some point, was the task or the mission assigned?
So I told Lieutenant Tully that, you know, we had received the snow that day. I told him most of the members, including myself, may not have shoveled out their driveway. I told him that at best case scenario would be an hour plus response time, depending on how long, you know, it would take people to shovel out their driveway. So at 2:53, I contacted one of the West team members, a sergeant from the West team, to have him send out an alert to our full team just to build an availability list to see who was available. So at 2:53, that's got sent out to the entire team.
At some point, were you able to acquire or compile a team?
Yes, Sergeant Simpson was able to put that list together.
And what time did you start to begin your way towards Fairview Road?
At 3:48, we sent out an alert for the activation of our team, including which members, notifying the team which members would actually be responding. I had just finished shoveling my driveway. By the time I changed into my uniform, got all my equipment together, I left my house at 4:13 p.m.
When you left your house, were you in an assigned cruiser or a personal vehicle?
Assigned cruiser, sir.
Is there tracking of assigned cruisers?
Yes, there is.
Could you share with us how that works?
So each cruiser has an automated vehicle locator, a GPS system. It tracks everywhere you go, marking every time you stop.
And did the vehicle you were driving have that system?
Yes, it did, sir.
Before you left to head towards Fairview at 4:13 p.m., had you already defined what the mission was going to be?
Yes, I knew we'd be conducting an evidence search.
Did you have any idea of how you were going to do that?
Yes, I spoke to Lieutenant Tully just to get an idea of the area we'd be searching. I determined how many members we would need to respond to that search, which at that time I figured we would need 8 members to respond. Normally, as the team leader, I'll function more of an incident command role behind the team, documenting some of our efforts. So we dispatched 8 members to the scene. Unfortunately, due to the snow, one of my members was not able to respond. So we only had 7 members officially arrive on scene, including myself, which change the dynamics a little bit of our search, but nothing major.
How did it change the dynamics of your search?
Well, like I stated, normally I would stay behind the line of searchers, documenting what they do, more of as a command role. But because we were one member short, I wound up participating in the search more hands-on than maybe normal.
Did you ultimately actively participate in the search firsthand?
Yes, I did, sir.
Tell us about when you first arrive at 34 Fairview and you get out of your cruiser. What's the weather like at that point?
Still snowing.
What's the temperature like?
Very cold.
Visibility?
It was windy, but no real issues for us to see as we were working.
Was there a particular area you were looking at?
Yes. Once I spoke to Lieutenant Tully, we wanted focusing on a specific area to search.
What time did you arrive at 34 Fairview?
4:56 p.m.
Did any of your team arrive before you?
Just prior to my arrival, one member arrived at 4:54 p.m.
And do you remember who that was?
It was Trooper Jason Bousselet.
Were there other members that arrived after you?
Yes, there were.
Did you wait until the entire team was there before you began?
No, we did not.
The other members that arrived, do you remember who they were?
Yes, I do, sir.
Do you happen to remember when they arrived?
Yes, I do, sir.
Could you share that with us?
Trooper Blake Bearden arrived at 5:21 p.m. Sergeant Charles Luis arrived at 5:24 p.m. Sergeant Michael O'Brien arrived at 5:24 p.m. Trooper Scott Viscardi arrived at 5:34 p.m. And Sergeant Anthony Carrier arrived at 5:41 p.m.
When you first arrived at Fairview and you looked at the scene, did you have any personal knowledge where any person had been in that area?
No, I did not.
Did you learn generally that a man was found in that area?
Yes, I did.
Did you have any photographs or precise location of exactly where that person had been found?
No, we did not.
Did you have a general area that you were directed to?
Yes, sir.
Any landmarks you can share with us in the general area where you were going to be focused on?
There was a flagpole in front of the residence. There was also a fire hydrant in front of the residence.
Who made the determination of the scope of the area that you would search?
I made the final markings of the distance we wanted to search, but we were guided by Lieutenant Tully's information he was able to provide for me.
How did you decide the depth and the broadness of the area you were going to search?
He informed me that there was a vehicle involved in the incident. He told me where that vehicle had been parked, so we wanted to make sure we started prior to where that vehicle was parked, which was almost adjacent to the front door of the house. If you were to look at the house we were at 34 Fairview Road, you don't say there was two front doors, a main front door and then a secondary front door at, closer to the garage, whether that's a mudroom or a den. So he stated the vehicle was parked almost directly across from the main front door, which again, looking at the house, that's on the left front door. So we marked off that as our starting location, and we wanted to search down to the fire hydrant.
Were you looking randomly, or was there any specific items you may have been looking for?
No, we were instructed that it was believed that the vehicle may have had a broken taillight, so we were looking for taillight pieces. We also were informed the victim in this incident was missing his shoe, so we're going to be looking for his sneaker as well.
What tools did you and your team bring to begin the search?
We brought shovels, we also brought push broom, I brought a couple of garden rakes, and we also were all equipped with headlamps, hiking lamps that you would wear.
Were the headlamps the only lighting you had for the search?
Once we began the search, we wound up turning a few of the cruisers around just to put some extra headlights on the scene.
Were the cruisers parked so they were facing the yard?
They were parked on the street, just covering the street, so not angled towards the yard at all.
I want to ask you some questions about the tools you brought. You said you had shovels, some garden rakes, and brooms?
Yes, sir.
What was the purpose of the brooms?
Just to help us sift through the snow very carefully. We wanted to be slow and methodical as we went through the area.
How about the shovels? Were you concerned that if you used the shovel, you could hit an item and break it?
Yes, but we went as slow as we could, layer by layer, as we moved down throughout the snow.
When you use shovels, were you digging like you would dig vegetables in a garden?
No, sir.
Could you explain a little bit about the process before we get into the actual search of how you as a team would look through snow? Would you just pick it up and turn it over, or was there a process in place?
No, eventually we wound up going again. Our searches, we'll call it a grid search, but it's a line search where we're all lined up. Again, talking about critical spacing. If we're searching for a particular item on a search, we may use a replica item to say, okay, how far can each member be away from each other? Because this was such a small search area, our members lined up almost shoulder to shoulder. Once we were on a line, we would slowly move forward, each member taking out snow, sifting, small layers, sifting it out at their own feet with a right flank along the curb in front of the house. That snow would eventually get moved out to the street where I was standing. I was the left flank on our line. I would then re-go through that snow, make sure we didn't miss any items or by accident carry an item that we were looking for over towards the middle of the street. Once I was satisfied there wasn't anything there, I would take that snow and throw it across to the other side of the street.
Before you began the search, did you have a chance to look around at the surroundings, including the street, the berm separating the street from the yard, and the area you're going to look at?
Yes, I did, sir.
Did you see any evidence that there had been any plowing before you arrived?
Yes, the plow had come through the area. The plow had not gone curb to curb, so we had a good 3 to 4 foot embankment coming off each curb. So at that embankment where the snow had come to, there was higher levels of snow before it dropped down to the normal snow depth that the rest of the area had received.
Could you describe a little more simply what you mean that the plow didn't go curb to curb?
So again, the plow had probably only done enough distance for maybe two vehicles to safely pass each other, not enough to go all the way to the curb on each side of the street. As we wound up parking, the responding members, as they wound up parking, they wound up parking in the snow closer to the curb, and at the end of the night, several of the cruisers were stuck. We had to push them out.
When you looked at the snow that appeared to have been pushed by the plow, did that snow that had been displaced reach the berm, the separation between the street and the yard?
No, there was 3 to 4 feet between the edge from where the plow was to where the curbing in front of the house was located, sir.
The area where you searched or where you were pointed to where Mr. O'Keefe was in that general area, did it look like any snow from any plow had reached that area?
No, it did not.
When you began the searching, do you know what time it was that you actually began searching?
We moved my cruiser and Trooper Boussole's cruiser at 5:20. We had started gridding off where we wanted to search, but at 5:20, that's when we moved our cruisers to put the headlights on. That's right, Trooper Bearden and the two sergeants arrived quickly after on scene. So by 5:24, we started, all five of us were lined up shoveling. When the two other members arrived on scene, they just joined in on the line to help us move.
From when you first arrived at 4:56 p.m. to when you began the search at 5:20 p.m., did you see anybody enter the area that you were going to search other than you or a CERC team member?
No, they did not.
Were there other people in the area outside the scene or the grid that you were going to search other than you and members of your CERC team?
Lieutenant Tully arrived on scene.
Was there anybody with Lieutenant Tully?
At one point, he had several other people with him. Maybe, I believe, five throughout our search, maybe five different people, including him, were on scene.
Were those people part of state police?
At least one, maybe two. Unfortunately, I don't recognize all 2,500 members in our department, but there were probably about five total people on scene, sir.
Was there somebody who was picking up any evidence that you may find and putting it in bags and preserving it?
After we found located evidence, it was documented on scene by the detectives.
So you yourself were not documenting?
No, and again, that's maybe a little change in the dynamics. If I had been more of an incident commander role, I probably would have documented time, location, again, for our internal records. The primary record will always be at the hands of the detectives. But because I was actively searching, the detectives handled all documentation.
Did you see somebody from the state police putting evidence in bags after it was pointed out to you?
Yes, sir, they did.
When you began the search, what part of the street or yard did you begin with?
We started where we were informed the vehicle was parked, which again was by, almost directly across from the front door of the house, and we began working south towards Chapman Street.
During the process of the search, if somebody were to find a piece of evidence, what was the process? What would happen?
He would notify myself and Lieutenant Tully, and we would stop our operation until that was documented by the detectives on scene and collected.
Do you know what time the first piece of evidence was found?
I believe it was 5:45, sir.
Do you remember what the first piece or item that you or the search team found was?
It was a piece of taillight.
So I'm showing you two photographs. Do you recognize what is in them? First one?
Yes, sir.
What is that?
It is a piece of clear lens from a taillight.
And the second photograph?
It's the same lens, just a little enhanced, closer.
A close-up?
Yes, sir.
I'd like to introduce these two photographs of evidence.
No objection, Your Honor.
All right, so one is a close-up of the other?
It is.
So, and then short reporter will be the next, plus A.
With the court's permission, could I show the exhibits?
Yes.
Okay. Let me see exhibit number 129, please. All right, I'll move on at this point.
Okay.
And that was at 5:45?
Yes, sir.
At 5:50, do you know if another item was found?
I don't know the specific times. I know the first piece was 5:45, but I didn't handle the documentation, and I have not seen the evidence log.
Okay. Inevitably, did you or your team find an item of clothing?
We found the sneaker, yes, sir.
A sneaker?
Yes, sir.
Can you describe where the sneaker was found?
Sneaker was flush up against the curb, and it was inverted upside down.
Was there anything in the sneaker?
There was snow on and inside the sneaker.
May I approach?
Yes.
So I'm showing you three photographs. Do you recognize the first one?
Yes, sir. That's a photograph of the sneaker we recovered.
And where is it located in reference to the berm?
It's directly up against the curb.
Can you show, take a look at the second photograph, please? What do you see?
It's a close-up picture of the same sneaker we located.
And third photograph, please.
Again, just a close-up, different angle photo of the sneaker we located.
Thank you. Sorry, I remove these three photos of the evidence, please.
Could we get more of a close-up, Ms. Gill? Sir, can you describe what you're seeing here?
That's the sneaker we located up against the curb. You can see the snow in the background, and that's the flagpole in front of the house. You can see it's still snowing at this time.
Could we see 121, please? And sir, can you describe again what that is?
Just a close-up photo of the sneaker we located up against the curb.
Is that curb the black area to the right?
Correct, sir.
How high is that curb?
I'm not sure, sir. Several inches.
122, please. You described the photograph with a sneaker with snow in it. Is that that photograph?
Yes, it is, sir.
Okay, thank you. You can take that down. That night, do you recall there was any other pieces of taillight recovered?
I believe in total we located maybe 6 or 7 pieces of taillight.
May I approach, Your Honor?
Yes.
Sir, I'm handing you 3 photographs.
Oh, thank you.
Do you recognize the first photograph?
Yes, I do, sir.
And what's in that photograph?
It's a piece of red taillight that we located.
Could you look at the second photograph, please?
Yes, sir.
What do you see there?
It's the same piece of taillight that we recovered. Just a close-up version. You can see the molding of an overturned shovel. That piece of taillight actually came up as one of our team members was shoveling. When he overturned his shovel, the piece of taillight was there, and you can see the actual molding from his shovel.
And the third photograph?
That is another piece of taillight that we located at ground level.
A different piece?
Yes, sir.
Let's stick with photographs 1 and 2. Photograph 1 and 2 is close-up and a further view of a piece of taillight. Are those fair and accurate depictions? Is that a piece appearing that night?
Yes, they are, sir.
All right, we'll introduce 2 photographs of the evidence.
Mm-hmm. Sir, when these items were found, did you examine or study the depth of those items when they were found?
I did not, sir. Gave them a glance when our team members told us we found something. And then Lieutenant Tully took over documentation. I returned to my place, you know, on our line.
Do you know if any of the items were touching the ground or were they on snow?
A couple of the pieces were found at ground level, touching the asphalt.
And you said there was another item found that we just talked about? A separate piece of taillight?
Yes, that was another. That photo you showed me was a separate piece of the taillight we located, sir.
Any approach?
Yes.
Showing you two photographs, could you look at the first photograph?
Yes, sir.
What do you see?
A piece of taillight at ground level.
And if you could look at the second photograph, what's that?
It's a close-up enhanced view of that piece, same piece of taillight.
So it's just a different view of the same piece of taillight?
Correct, sir.
Is that a fair and accurate depiction as that piece of taillight appeared that night?
Yes, sir, sir.
I will move these two into evidence, one photograph and a second will be closer up view.
No objection.
Okay.
While you were conducting the search, did anybody but your team, Trooper Tully, the person who was documenting the evidence, did you see any other people who were not law enforcement in the area?
At some point during our search, the media arrived on scene, began filming us or taking photos.
Was there anybody from your department or a different department that was managing the crowd?
No, there were members with Lieutenant Tully that I believe were not state police members, but I wouldn't know how to characterize what their job description was. So.
At any time, did anybody enter that area or scene, the grid that you and your members were working on, other than your group and Trooper Tully and the people with him?
No, correct. Once we marked off our area, no one came forward of our line. That whole search area was fresh, undisturbed snow as we moved through the area, and no one moved past our line, even when Lieutenant Tully and the member who works in his unit came to collect the evidence. They didn't move past the point we had searched up to at that time.
Why were you so careful about anybody coming onto your grid?
We don't want to disturb our scene, but we also don't want to move forward unless we're all moving together, you know, acting in unison.
Given you had brushes and rakes and shovels, did you get through every piece of that area?
We didn't go all the way to where I had marked off originally, because after we found everything that was collected, we had gone approximately 8 to 10 feet without finding any other evidence. Lieutenant Tully and I had a discussion. I think we determined we found everything we were going to find that evening, and we decided to suspend the search.
Was it a search that took up the whole front yard and street of that area?
Our focus was on the street. We really didn't touch the front yard at all. We started to go over the curb at one point to see if we could search the grass area, but we could not properly definitively say we were searching it well. As we started to move the snow, we couldn't really see, differentiate down to the grass level.
How hard was the ground?
It was cold, frozen.
The ground was frozen?
Sir.
And so not being able to search the entire yard, was there a plan at that point? Did you just end your mission?
So when we suspended our search, we'll always do a full team debrief, and we'll debrief with the person who requested our search. So, and at the end of our search, we'll come up with what we call our probability of detection. We'll give a baseline determination of what I think, percentage-wise, what we would have found, what we were looking for. We'll provide that. I did provide that to Lieutenant Tully. Told him there was a good chance we did not locate everything that evening, and we offered to return at a later date or time at his request.
When you were looking generally for pieces of taillight in the sneaker, were you informed, did you have any idea how much taillight would be in that area?
I did not know, sir.
Was there any way for you to, at that point, identify exactly what you were looking for?
No, we didn't have a photo of the taillight. I was never shown anything, so I wasn't sure how much we were actually looking for.
May I approach, Your Honor?
Yes.
I'll withdraw that. What time did you end the search?
Approximately 6:15, I believe. I was the last one to leave, which was 6:23 p.m. when I left.
And so how long was the entire search?
It was about 55 minutes. We started again around 5:20, ending around 6:15, sir.
Do you know if any other colleagues or members went back at a later date?
I've been informed that they did, yes, but not from my team, but other members of our department.
Did your team go back?
We did not, sir, no.
I have no further questions.
Good afternoon, Lieutenant.
Good afternoon, sir.
When you first arrived at the scene, was there crime scene tape up?
No, there was not, sir.
Was there any barricade up at all?
No, there was not.
Was there any evidence that the crime scene was being secured at that time?
There was no police presence on scene, sir.
Okay. So that when you arrived, the scene had been left unsecured. Do you know how long it had been left unsecured?
I do not, sir.
So before you arrived, at least, and before your presence was known, or some time before you got there, that scene could have been accessed by anyone, to your knowledge?
Well, I think the weather played a good help in us of with course. The scene security, because with that being fresh, undisturbed snow, and with the man tracking we do, we would be able to determine if anyone had accessed that area.
Of course, of course. But you don't have any personal knowledge of anybody actually securing that scene for onlookers, bypassers, anybody that wanted access to it, they could have had it?
Not that I'm aware of, sir.
Okay. You indicated that Lieutenant Tully first contacted you exactly at 2:32 p.m., correct?
That is correct, sir.
At that time, your team was not stood up. In other words, you were not activated, because that was an initial call by Lieutenant Tully, not an activation call, correct?
Correct. That's a courtesy notification, sir.
And at that time, Lieutenant Tully had not received the proper protocol, the proper approvals through the protocol to actually have your team activate and have your team dispatched.
Yes, I think he'll normally, when we get activated, before they start the process going through their chain of command, they'll call me just to see if we're available and if we could actually respond, instead of wasting other people's time calling us if I were to say, no, we are already assigned on another mission at this time.
Right. So around 2:53, you indicated that one of your subordinates, Sergeant Simpson, notified the rest of the team that get ready, but we have not been given the green light, correct?
Correct, sir. Building an availability list of who could respond.
Okay. That was just a kind of a precursor, if you will, for lack of a better phrase, to make sure that you had the available personnel so when the green light, or if the green light came, you could activate.
Correct, and to help start giving people the heads up to start shoveling their driveway. Like I said, as soon as I received that call from Lieutenant Tully, I hadn't shoveled my driveway yet. Okay. I went out and had to go clear my driveway and my cruiser, and the end of my driveway, we usually get plowed in by our plows. We had several feet of snow at the end of my driveway, sir.
Lucky you.
Yes.
All right. Did Lieutenant Tully inform you in that first phone call that colleagues of his, Massachusetts State Police colleagues of his, were already en route to Dighton to retrieve or seize the SUV?
He did not say that, sir.
Did Lieutenant Tully inform you that Massachusetts State Police had actually contacted the Dighton Police Department for their assistance in potentially seizing that SUV?
He did not tell me that, sir.
Did he indicate to you, you indicated that your conversation was at 12:32. Did he indicate that he had contacted, just gotten off the phone with Dighton PD at 12:31, just a minute prior?
Our phone call is at 2:32, sir.
I'm sorry.
I don't know if that's a different time you're looking to.
2:32, and he had just gotten off the phone with Dighton PD at 2:31. Did he indicate anything like that?
No, he did not, sir.
Okay. So we do know that at that 2:30-ish hour, you were not authorized to respond to the unit, to the location at that point. None of your units were en route at that point.
No, neither one of us had requested approval through our chain of command at that time, sir.
And you've already told us that you didn't head out until just after 4, sometime after 4 p.m.?
Yes. My GPS data has me leaving my driveway at 4:13 p.m.
Got it. Once you were at 34 Fairview, you arrived first, correct?
No, sir.
Oh, I'm sorry. I mistook that. Tell me who did arrive first.
Trooper Busalil arrived at 4:54, and I pulled in just after him at 4:56, sir.
My mistake. When you first arrived, you were waiting others of your team to arrive as well in their personal vehicles or their marked vehicles, correct?
They were Still en route at that time, yes, sir.
When you got there, you did not know at that point where you were going to be directed to search, correct?
I did not know, sir.
All you knew was a residence and an address, correct?
Correct.
As your team members arrived, were they arriving in personal vehicles, cruisers, or some combination thereof?
They were all arriving in state-issued cruisers.
Okay, so all seven of you arrived, it was seven total, correct?
Correct. We, again, initially started eight. One member was not able to get off the end of their street due to plowing, so we were one member short from the original dispatch.
Understood. Lieutenant, when you arrived, given the fact that you did not know where you'd be searching, you got actually indicated previously that the flagpole, the fire hydrant, et cetera, that part of the lawn, that part of the yard, was behind you as the cruisers pulled up and you parked your cruisers waiting for everybody to get there, correct?
When I arrived, I parked almost at the end of the driveway of that residence, sir.
Okay, was your tail facing the flagpole, or was your nose facing the flagpole?
Tail was facing the flagpole.
So you pulled up to the driveway, I'm guessing from Chapman?
Yes.
North?
Correct, sir. Yes, from Chapman.
Okay, so you pulled over to the edge of the driveway, sort of on the wrong side of the street, I'm guessing.
Same side as 34 Fairview, sir.
Understood. So the area and the grid area that you ultimately decided to search and ultimately were directed to search, that was all behind you?
Yes, it was.
And it was dark out, obviously?
Yes, it was.
Getting dark?
It was dark. It was winter, so it was dark.
Okay. Your focus was certainly not on the area behind you at that point, correct?
As
a matter of fact, your focus wasn't really anywhere, was it?
Because
you didn't know where you were going to search.
Correct, sir.
Okay. Ultimately, your team members began to arrive one by one, and each one of them would stay in their car, or would they get out and come coordinate with you, like at your cruiser?
No, as they arrived on scene, they would come out, because Lieutenant Tully had already arrived on scene. He was technically the third member of the state police on scene.
Okay.
So once he got on scene, I was already out talking to him, and I was marking off the area we were going to search.
Understood. He ultimately, at some point, did direct you to a location behind you, which you were not currently focused on, toward the flagpole, the fire hydrant, you said.
Yeah, I wasn't focused on any area at that time, sir, no.
You marked the areas out that Lieutenant Tully directed you to with some sort of grid coordinates, or was it just sort of a mental grid?
No, I wound up marking, stepping it off in the area I wanted to search, sir.
Did you use any string or rope or anything like that to physically grid the area off?
No, I just marked it, a line in the snow, sir, where
Understood.
We wanted to start and where we wanted to end.
And you did that with footprints?
No, with the shovel, and it marked where we wanted to start and end,
I see. So sort of dragging a shovel in the line?
No, right just
the
where the berm was, sir. I knocked the berm down, made an obvious impression of where the shovel was.
Okay.
At the starting location where ideally I want it to end.
Perfect. You indicated that the area that you were searching was relatively undisturbed snow. You said that in direct examination, correct?
It was undisturbed, yes, sir.
But the street, everything from the berm in, the street had been plowed, correct?
To a point, yes, sir.
All right, and so that would be disturbed snow?
Yeah, to a point, yes, sir.
And what was the point?
To where the snow that got plowed in, it all rose up just like the end of your driveway would. There was a good 3 to 4 foot high barrier on each side of the street. Once you were able to knock down that initial barrier of snow, the level of snow dropped down to the normal depths that you would have seen in anyone's front lawn at that time, sir.
And is that what you're calling the undisturbed portion of the snow?
Correct, sir.
Okay. Lieutenant Tully told you that you were going to be looking for a man's shoe, a sneaker of some sort, or a shoe of some sort, correct?
He said sneaker, yes, sir.
And he told you that you'd be searching for plastic, red plastic, potentially from a taillight, is that right?
I said taillight pieces, yes, sir.
Did he indicate that some of them would be red, some might be clear, might be a combination of the two?
He didn't indicate a color either way, sir.
He did direct you to where he believed you should search. It was his direction that sort of gave you your grid coordinates, correct?
He indicated where the vehicle had been parked and where the victim's body had been located and suggested that was the primary area to search.
Did he tell you whether or not he knew from personal knowledge where John O'Keefe's body had been?
He did not, sir, no.
Did he tell you whether he had personal knowledge where any taillight material might be?
He did not, no, sir.
Did he tell you that he had any personal knowledge where an impact site might have been?
He did not, no.
Did he tell you that he had personal knowledge that there had been an impact site at the location?
No, he just said he believed the incident involved a vehicle.
Okay. One of your goals when looking at the search location was to obviously remove the snow as methodically as you could, correct?
Yes, sir.
You wanted to not only remove layers of snow, but then ultimately expose the layer beneath it with as little disturbance as possible. Is that right?
Correct, sir.
I think you noted that the plow had not plowed all the way to the curb, so the snowbank was sort of in the street, not in the yard, or at least a few inches from the curb line and not in the yard, correct?
Correct, sir. As I stated, as some of the responding members parked, they were thinking they were parking in a safe spot in the street, and their cruisers wound up being stuck at the end of the night.
And you and your team had some experience doing searches in snowy conditions, being from Massachusetts, I'm guessing.
Missing person searches, we've never been out for an evidence search in this specific type of conditions, but okay. We have done missing person searches.
So this was the first time you and your team had executed a search of this nature in these kinds of conditions for these kinds of items?
In blizzard conditions, yes, for an evidence search, yes.
But you did indicate on direct examination that although it was blizzard conditions and the winds were high, and we've learned that windy conditions sort of define a blizzard in some respects, the visibility was relatively good.
Yeah, with our headlamps, we had pretty decent visibility.
I want to ask you a couple of questions about the techniques for conducting a search like this in some sort of snowfall. Obviously, as a specialist in searches, one of the things that you put as the highest priority is documenting exactly where the search is conducted, what techniques are used to conduct the search, and what, if anything, is found and exactly where it's found, correct?
Yes, documentation of your search is important, yes, sir.
You'd also want to document the time that things are found, correct?
Yes, you want those documented.
And you'd want to document the relative locations between and among items that are found. How close are they to each other? How close are they or far are they from a stable landmark, a static landmark, correct?
So we will mark items, sir.
Okay.
Measuring in between distances, they do get stamped when we mark our items. Measuring them would be at the discretion of the investigators themselves.
And obviously that would be among the best practices to document. Clearly document how a search is conducted, correct?
Correct, sir.
Another way to document the evidence is, or the search, is to do it through either video evidence or photographic techniques, right? Just photographing, forensic photographs of where things are found, contextual photographs moving into close-up photographs, correct?
That would be at the discretion of the detective, sir.
And in this case, that discretion lay with Lieutenant Tully, correct?
Yeah, he was the incident commander, correct, sir.
You indicated a number of hand tools that you brought with you to the search to make sure that you had the tools necessary to get through the snow and get to the items that you were, if there were any items out there, to get to the items you were looking for. Is that right?
Correct, sir.
And you did, in fact, remove layer by layer the snow and sort of sift through it as best you could, correct?
Yes, sir.
That also included some shovels where a shovel full of snow might be gathered and then turned over, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. That was done somewhat methodically, is that right?
Yes, it was, sir.
And you wanted to make sure that you weren't missing anything as you were digging through the top layers of snow and getting down to something closer to the surface, correct?
Correct, sir.
And at that time, what was the level of snow, if you can estimate it? How much snowfall?
Believe the area, you know, not living that far from that location myself, was anywhere from 15 to 18 up to maybe 20 inches in certain towns.
And again, this is after 5:45, 5:48 in the evening of January 29th.
When the first item was discovered, was 5:45.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Obviously, the search of this complexity and with this many individuals and with those conditions required some level of significant coordination by you and your team, correct?
Yes, sir.
You had to account for all the personnel who were there. Is that right?
Correct, sir.
That included, I'm going to go through a quick list, Bearden, Beausoleil, Carrier, Luis, O'Brien, O'Hara, you, and Biscardi. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
So there were seven individuals, as well, Lieutenant, as seven vehicles to account for to make sure you're not driving over the wrong areas, walking over the wrong areas, standing over the wrong areas, correct?
Correct, sir.
And not only did you have to account for those seven officers, each of whom arrived in their own vehicles, you also had to make sure that those vehicles were positioned in the right spot to make sure you don't drive over the area that you need to search and might be impacted by your cars, correct?
Yes, sir. After Lieutenant Tully arrived on scene, the remaining cruisers never came past the initial location of where we believe the incident occurred.
Before he came on scene, the cruisers that were there were down toward the driveway, closer to where you were, and you, of course, were positioned with your back to the location that ultimately was searched, correct?
Yes, sir. That was two of the seven cruisers, yes.
Okay. Once you learned where you wanted to search, you literally had to sort of turn around, physically turn things around to begin searching behind where you had originally positioned yourself. No fault of your own, you just didn't know where to go. You had to sort of turn around and go backward toward the area of the flagpole, away from the area of the driveway, correct?
Yes, sir.
And so as you began to focus on the other side of the house, the other side of the driveway, you had to actually reposition a couple of the cruisers. You didn't have to, but you chose to reposition a couple of the cruisers to turn their lights back around, correct?
Oh, that is correct, sir.
At some point, you've indicated that there were other individuals who you noticed were at the scene. Is that right?
Yes, there were non-CERT members on scene, sir.
Okay. And those non-CERT members included, or they numbered, at least five individuals, not including Lieutenant Tully. Is that right?
I believe that includes Lieutenant Tully, sir. I believe it was five total.
Okay, so five does include Lieutenant Tully. There were four others that were non-CERT members, correct?
Correct, sir.
And those were members, I think you've earlier testified that those were members of either Massachusetts State Police or Canton Police or both. Is that right?
I believe it was both, yes, sir.
And you did not recognize those individuals?
I recognized one of the State Police members. I believe a second one was also a State Police member that I'm not familiar with.
Okay.
And then two other members that I believe were Canton Police, but again, not familiar with them.
And these individuals were, obviously, it's dark. You're not paying attention to them. You're not paying attention to what they're doing. They probably have hats and hoods and gloves on, I'm guessing.
Well, they didn't arrive on scene right away, so we were already well into our search before they even arrived on scene. The only one who was on scene originally was Lieutenant Tully.
If you weren't paying close attention to those four officers, those additional four officers, how do you know exactly what time they arrived on scene?
They weren't in the area we were searching, so they came on scene after we were already on our line searching, sir.
So they may have been in the area, but you didn't see them until your line search had already begun, and you made note of them, correct?
Correct. I don't know when the exact time they arrived on scene, sir, but they weren't on scene when we started our search.
Or they weren't in your vision when they started their search?
No, they weren't on scene, sir.
Okay. But you don't know, as you sit here, you can't say what time they showed up.
I do not know, sir.
And did they come at your direction?
They did not.
Did they come in the direction of any of your staff members, any of your colleagues?
No, we did not request them, sir.
Okay. So they were there for some reason other than why you were there?
That's correct, sir.
These individuals, you noted they were either from, I think you said two from Massachusetts State Police and two from Canton Police, correct?
Yeah, including Lieutenant Tully, probably three MSP and two Canton Police, sir.
Okay. Excluding Lieutenant Tully, who was working very closely with you. The other four individuals, they were in full uniform or they were plain clothes?
Plain clothes, sir.
And your focus, once you began your search, once you stood up the team, turned your cars around, and realized exactly the grid where you were going to search, that's when what your focus was on, correct?
Yeah, I was focused on our search area, correct, sir.
And when you're searching a line, for instance, if it's a line that extends to your right or to your left, the search that you're conducting is literally right directly in front of you, correct?
Well, you're always looking left or right because you're staying online with your teammates, so you always have a full view of the scene you're searching, sir.
Understood. I'm not saying that you look down and never look up again, but I'm saying that your focus, the main focus of your search, is directly in front of you. That's why you do a line search, to make it take small steps, search in front of you, move forward, search in front of you as a line, as an entity, single entity moving forward, correct?
That is best practice, yes, sir.
That's how you make sure you don't miss an overturned leaf that you need to overturn, that there might be a knife under or a gun under or something like that, or a bullet casing, something like that, correct?
Correct, sir.
Or a tail light,
right? Correct, sir.
All right, so as your focus is, your world sort of collapses a little bit. Your focus is in front of you. You're obviously working with your team members left and right. You're moving forward very, very gently, very methodically, very technically as you move forward, and the whole line moves forward on that way, correct?
Correct, sir.
So you're not necessarily paying attention to what's happening behind you, off in the distance, in the dark, to your left far, to your right far. That's not what your focus is on, at least at that moment, correct?
No, sir. Our focus is forward, and as we're moving forward into our search area.
Thank you. In addition to the five individuals, Lieutenant Tully included, and the other four, there was also another person that made contact with you from 34 Fairview, correct?
Yes, when we first arrived on scene, someone had exited the residence onto the front steps, front porch area, possibly, of that mudroom.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean it right.
Of that mudroom, so that right door, the exit, you know, the door closest to the garage, sir.
Can you describe that person for us?
It was an adult male wearing a hooded sweatshirt.
Did that person approach you or one of your team members?
No, he never left the front door area.
Did he say anything to you or one of the team members?
He asked if we were here for what happened earlier. We replied yes, and he turned and went back inside the residence.
And as you sit here, you don't know who that person is?
I do not, sir, no.
But he's a male, I'm guessing middle-aged?
He was not a child, sir. It was definitely an adult male, sir.
Adult male wearing a hooded sweatshirt?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. You testified that you recovered, I'm having a hard time speaking, it's been a long day, I apologize, let's try that again. You testified that you recovered a piece of plastic first before you recovered the shoe, or do I have that backwards?
No, there was one piece of taillight located before the shoe, sir.
Understood. You've also indicated that of the, I think you said six or seven total pieces of plastic that were found, that all of those pieces of plastic and the shoe were found basically right next to each other, correct?
I don't know the exact distances, but they weren't too far apart, some several inches to others maybe a foot or two. I don't know the exact distances, sir.
Without assigning an exact measurement down to the millimeter, Lieutenant, you've earlier indicated that all of the pieces and the shoe, relative to each other, it's just relative to each other, were found within a foot or so of each other, correct?
Eyeball, again, that's the distance that I just said, sir, from inches to maybe a couple of feet. I know they all are geomarked with exact coordinates that, you know, could be measured out at a later time, which, again, would have been at the purview of the detectives, but we did not measure them. Again, all eyeball that night.
Understood. When I say, and it may have been a bad question on my part, Lieutenant, and if it was, I apologize. When I say a foot, within a foot of each other, I don't mean a foot apart. All of them, you've earlier testified, would be inside of a foot total, correct?
Or
maybe 2 feet now?
I don't think they'd be quite that close, sir. I think they were maybe in between each item, sir, or close to it.
I have just a moment, Your Honor. Okay. I know this isn't necessarily a memorization contest about your prior testimony, but do you remember testifying about this specific issue? Here I go again. I can't speak. This specific issue about a year ago at another, back in 2022 at a grand jury.
Yes, I did, sir.
Okay. Do you remember exactly how you described where everything was with relative
okay.
Relative to each other, do you remember how you testified exactly?
I believe I said within a few inches or a foot away. Yes, sir.
Excellent memory. you rattled off times and dates like I've never seen before. So it's exactly what you said. So within a few inches of each other, maybe a foot is what you said, correct?
That's what I said, yes, sir.
Okay, so if it's maybe within a foot, this is 11.5 by 8.5 piece of paper, maybe a little an area a little larger than this, correct?
Correct, sir.
Okay. As you found items of evidence, did you alert Lieutenant Tully to that specific piece of evidence?
Yes, so I was not one of the members who found any of the evidence, but as my team members located something, we would halt the line. Lieutenant Tully was a short distance behind our line. We would get his attention. We would cease our operations until he informed us that he felt it was properly documented.
And ultimately, Lieutenant Tully was the person responsible for documenting that item, is that right?
That is, sir. We fall under the incident command structure. He technically took the lead as the incident commander that night, sir.
And he did that through photography?
Yes, sir.
So you saw him taking pictures of the items in their place once they were found, correct?
Yeah, I believe he was the one taking photographs, sir.
And by definition, Lieutenant, as a search like this is being conducted, unfortunately, moving so means possibly moving the items themselves, right?
Potentially, yes, sir.
Because it might end up in a shovel full of snow, you turn it upside down. That's not where the piece of evidence was to begin with, right?
Correct. It's been moved at that point.
But in this case, nearly all of the pieces that you did find, including the shoe, were nearly next to each other, meaning within inches of one another, correct?
I don't know the exact distance again, sir. You know, ballpark, eye distance, but again, that is why we provided the GPS coordinates of each location, because we did stamp those with a handheld GPS as we found items of evidence, and all those locations were turned over with our report. To be measured at the desire of the detective, sir.
Certainly, using that very impressive memory of yours, your memory back in May of 2022, May 5th of 2022, was that they were within inches of each other.
I believe that's what I stated, yes, sir.
Okay. Ultimately, you indicated that the search, after about 6 or 7 pieces were found, as well as the shoe, the search was suspended just after 6 o'clock, correct?
Approximately 6:15-ish, sir, we stopped. We'd gone, like I said, stated earlier, we'd gone approximately 8 to 10 feet further south on the row without recovering any other pieces of taillight. We knew we had already located the sneaker, so we decided to suspend the search at that time until possibly a future date.
And you were never called back out to the scene by Lieutenant Tully or anybody else, correct?
No, we were not, sir.
And did you become aware that over the next days and several weeks, there would be 40 more pieces of taillight claimed to be recovered at the scene? Did you become aware of that or no?
I was aware other pieces were located. I did not know that was the number, and I don't know exactly when I became aware of that. It was probably much later on, possibly at this location when I learned that information, sir.
And you don't know, as you sit here, you don't know whom it was that recovered these pieces, correct?
No, I've never seen the evidence log, sir.
And you don't know when those additional pieces were claimed to be?
I do not know.
When Lieutenant Tully and you had a conversation about shutting down the scene, was Lieutenant Tully's comment to you after those first few pieces were found that he was, quote, very satisfied that you had recovered everything that you were going to recover from that night, from that search?
Objection.
Sustained.
Mr. Brennan asked you about the conversation that you had with Lieutenant Tully to shut the scene down, to clear the scene, correct?
Yes, so we conducted a debrief and I gave him, again, as I mentioned earlier, we provide a probability of detection. I tell him what the chances are. I think we found our items we were looking for, and we determined to suspend the search.
Do you remember testifying last year that Lieutenant Tully indicated that he was very satisfied with what was found?
I don't know if he used the word very satisfied, but he was satisfied that evening that we had found everything we were going to find that night, sir.
May I have just a moment, Your Honor?
Okay.
Do you remember exactly what you indicated Lieutenant Tully's words were as you sit here?
I believe, yes, he was satisfied with the search. I just don't know if he used the word very satisfied or not, sir.
Would it refresh your recollection to take a look at your transcript?
I'm sure it will, sir.
This is the one thing you didn't learn.
Man.
Highlighted portion of the attendant.
Thank you, sir. I'm just going on the date. Is this from last year, or would this be from the grand jury, sir?
June of last year.
Okay. Yes, sir. So it does state here that I stated he was very satisfied with the search.
Yeah, refresh your recollection if that was the word that he used, or do you remember him using that?
Yeah, I believe, you know, to the best of my recollection, sir.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Lieutenant. May I have just a moment, Your Honor?
Yes.
Lieutenant, there was one other thing that I wanted to ask you about, which is you had indicated to Lieutenant Tully at some point close to 6 p.m. or so, it would be helpful if you and your team had a photograph of what it was you were looking for, correct?
Yeah, I believe after we found the first piece or two, I asked him if he had a photograph that we could look at just to see how large of an area.
So that
how large of a piece we were looking for, sir, yes.
Right. So that would, just timing-wise, if you found the first piece at 5:45, the first piece or two, maybe two or three or 4 minutes later, after that, maybe 5 minutes later, so let's place it at 5:50, close to 6, something like that?
Yeah, probably between 5:45 and 5:50 possibly, sir.
And you said to him at the time it would be helpful if we had a photograph of what it is we're looking for, correct?
Yeah, I said that would help, yes, sir.
And Lieutenant told you that the vehicle did not have a photograph because it was still en route from Dighton being transported to Cameron, right?
He did say he did not have a photograph and it was being towed back.
Okay. Thank you, Lieutenant.
Thank you, sir.
Sir, you mentioned that there were about five people not on your CERT team at some point arriving at Fairview Road or the area of it.
Yes, that's correct, sir.
Three of them were Mass State Police. You mentioned Tully and two of his colleagues.
Correct, sir.
Did you see anybody taking photographs of the items that you found?
Yes, Lieutenant Tully was taking photographs while we were there, sir.
And did you see somebody putting the items in bags?
Yes, they did, sir.
Was that one of the two people that were with Lieutenant Tully?
Yes, correct, sir.
You mentioned there were two Canton police officers. Were they part of the search?
They were not, sir, no.
Were they on the grid?
They were not, sir.
Did you ever see them in the area on the grid?
I did not, no, sir.
They were there. Were they involved in any way in the crowd?
They weren't the only people that ever came on scene other than us, and those local officers were at some point. The media did arrive on scene.
When you say on scene, is on scene different than on the grid?
Correct, just in the general vicinity, sir.
Did you know what the Canton police officers were doing?
I do not know, sir.
Did you ever see either of them ever come on your grid?
They did not know, sir.
Did you ever see anybody place or toss or throw anything onto your grid?
I'll allow it.
Did you ever see anybody place or toss or throw anything onto your grid?
I did not know, sir.
Did you ever see anybody intrude on the grid and leave an item?
Choose a different word.
Did you ever see anybody physically intrude upon your grid?
No one did that, sir.
You were asked about best practices memorializing. The person who was taking photographs.
Hold on for a second.
Slow down a little, Mr. Brown.
You mentioned best practices of memorializing items. And you also mentioned Lieutenant Tully was taking photographs.
Yes, that's correct, sir.
Do you know if those photographs were time and date stamped?
I believe they were, sir.
Is time and date stamping with photographs best practices in memorializing things?
Yes, they are, sir.
Now, before you defined the grid, and before you began that search, you knew other state police officers, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Did you know a person by the name of Trooper Yuri Kikena?
Yes, I do know him, sir.
Did you know somebody at the time known as Trooper Michael Proctor?
Yes, I did know. I do know him, sir.
Were either Michael Proctor or Trooper Yuri Bukenik at Fairview that night?
No, they were not, sir.
Did you see them at any time from the point you got there at 4:56 p.m. until when you left?
No, I did not see them there, sir.
You mentioned that somebody came out of a side door at 34 Fairview who had a hoodie on.
Yes, that's correct, sir.
How long were they outside for?
Maybe 10 seconds, sir.
Did they at any time interfere with your search?
No, they did not.
Did they at any time try to discourage or dissuade you from searching?
Objection, Your Honor.
Next question, I'll sustain you.
Did that person do anything to impede your search?
No, he did not.
You were asked about your conversation with Trooper Tully?
Yes, sir.
And he mentioned, or you characterized, he was very satisfied that what you had found, everything you were going to locate at that time?
That's correct, sir.
Did he ever suggest that he expected that you would not find anything else?
No, he did not.
Did he ever suggest that there was no other trace evidence there?
No, he did not.
Was there a discussion that he or you or other people may come back to search further at a different time?
We offered to come back at a later date, and you know, he just accepted our offer, but we were never contacted to come back, sir.
When you offered to come back, was that based on your assessment that it was a difficult area to search?
Correct. Again, as we talked about probability of detection, we'll base that on 10 different categories, give him a baseline percentage chance of it. Would we have found what we were looking for? I told him there was a good chance we did not locate all the evidence. Asked him if he wanted us to come back at a later date, sir.
And when you mentioned that you couldn't finish the search because of the grass, tell us a little bit about what made it difficult because of the grass.
Even using the push brooms, we couldn't properly move the snow off the grass as we were moving it. And with the dark, even the headlamps, I didn't feel like we were clearing it enough to continue searching it. I think our best efforts would be to focus on the street because I was more concerned about eventually the plow coming in, clearing curb to curb and moving any evidence that was on the street. My thought was if with the grass not being able to properly clear it, at least that would be contained to be searched at a later date as the snow melted.
And given those assessments, is that some of those reasons why you offered to come back?
Yes, sir.
I've shown you some photographs you've identified about some of the pieces that you found or the pieces that you found that night. I'd like to show those photographs to the jury. If we could show Exhibit 73, please. Is that one of the photographs you identified earlier?
Yes, it is, sir.
Is there a chance, Ms. Gilman, that we could do a close-up of that? Can you describe what you're seeing?
It's a piece of clear taillight. It's got rigid edges, some indentations on it, distinctive markings.
Did all of the pieces you found have those type of markings on it?
Not sure if they had those exact same markings, sir. I'd have to compare the photos.
Was there different colors of pieces that you found that night?
Yes, we also found pieces of red taillight as well.
Could we see 73A, please? Is 73A a picture from further away of the same piece?
Yes, that's what it appears to be, sir.
Was it easier to see these pieces that night in person than it is in photos, or is there any difference in the ability to identify these pieces?
Sustained.
When you saw the piece from where you were standing, did it look any different than it does in this photo?
No, it doesn't, sir.
Could we see 75, please? In that picture from this perspective, can you see any pieces of taillight?
There's a piece of red taillight in the left-hand side of that photo, sir.
On a little bit of a mound?
Correct, sir.
Is that where that piece was found, on the mound?
No, that's the photo, like we discussed earlier, sir, that came up with one of the shovels. And you can see when you get close to that photo, you'll see the actual molding of the overturned shovel.
So it was scooped up and then placed on that mound?
Correct. As the trooper overturned it to start beginning to sift through the different layers of snow, that's where he deposited that snow, sir.
Could we get a close-up of the left side of that picture, please? Can you see the shovel marks near that piece?
Yes, they're directly behind it and off to the left. You can see the molding, the shovel.
You can see a bit of a divot to the left of the red?
Yes, correct, sir.
Is that part of imprint from the shovel?
Yes, it is, sir.
Could we see 75A, please? Is that a closer picture of the same item?
Yes.
The imprint, does that give you a clearer view of the shovel you were speaking about?
Yes, it does, sir.
Can we see 76, please? Is that one of the photographs you identified earlier?
Yes, it is, sir.
And that piece, was it found at ground level?
Yes, that photo is where that item was located, sir.
Touching the ground?
Yes, sir.
Could we get a close-up of that, please? And if we could have 76A, please. Is that a picture of the same item?
Yes, it is. Just zoomed in, sir.
You can close that, please, and turn the lights on. Thank you. To be clear on the timeline, your colleague arrived, first colleague arrived at what time?
4:54 p.m., sir.
And you arrived at?
4:56.
You mentioned that it looked like fresh snow?
Yes, sir. The area we searched was fresh, undisturbed snow.
And when you got there at 4:56, when you described fresh, undisturbed snow, is that your impression when you first got there at 4:56?
Yes, I realized that the plow had not cleared curb to curb.
You began your actual search at what time?
Right around 5:20. We wound up again. We moved a couple of our cruisers around just to add extra headlights, extra lighting on the scene itself.
And the first piece of evidence was found at what time?
5:45, sir.
Your area that you searched, did you say it was 8 to 10 feet?
No, sir. The area marked off was just over approximately 60 feet. We had gone about 8 to 10 feet towards the end of the search without locating any more items, and that's where we suspended the search.
How much of your focus was near the street area?
Only 99% of it, sir. As soon as we got to the grass and realized we couldn't clear it properly, my main focus was on that street, just again because I was concerned about the plow coming through at a later time.
You were worried that if you didn't finish the street, there could be some impact from plowing?
Yes, sir.
And did you say 99% was the street area?
Yeah, approximately, sir.
Thank you very much.
Anything, Mr. Jackson?
Yes, briefly. Okay. So the search went approximately 60 feet?
That's the area I marked off, sir.
And in that 60 feet, you started close to or adjacent to the front door, correct?
Correct, sir.
And in that 60 feet, you were doing the type of search that we described earlier, that you described earlier, about going just a few paces at a time and starting to move material out of the way to try to get down to the surface, correct?
Yes, sir. All working together. Yes, sir.
And you did not find 40 pieces of taillight at or near or on that street or the lawn or any place else, correct?
Yeah, I don't know the overall number, sir, but...
And neither did your colleagues?
Correct, sir. We've never been notified how much has been located.
The only thing that you found was concentrated in one area, maybe a foot or 2 feet in diameter. You said 6 or 7 pieces and a shoe, correct?
That's what we located, yes, sir.
You didn't find a black baseball cap, correct?
We did not, no, sir.
And in the photographs that we've seen, that's clearly not undisturbed snow, correct?
The photographs are us moving, after having moved the snow, sir.
Some of it is y'all moving the snow. Some of it is disturbed snow on the street or at the curb, correct?
After we had moved it, yes, sir.
You indicated that Trooper Proctor and Trooper Buchnick, you know both of them, correct?
I know who they are, yes, sir.
I know who they are. When Trooper Tully told you that the vehicle was en route and could not provide you a photograph at, let's call it 5:50 p.m., did he tell you that the vehicle had actually been secured at Canton PD about a mile and a half away at 5:35 p.m.?
No, he did not say that, sir.
Did you know through any other means that that vehicle was just a mile and a half away at 5:35 p.m. before you ever found the first piece of taillight? Did you know that?
I did not know what time it was, sir.
Thank you.
Do you know what time Trooper Tully told you he did not have a photograph?
I was Sometime after we found the first piece, sir. So sometime after 5:45, sir.
Thank you.
All right.
That's all I have.
All right, Lieutenant, you are all set, sir.
We approach.
Okay.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.